Hey, Bills fans, welcome into the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I believe it's episode number 36 in our daily series. Joining me today, well, first, I want to get to just the fact that you guys, if you haven't yet, please rate us and subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't yet, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Want to make sure I get that thrown in there. But I'm really excited today to bring you Rich Kowalski back. Joining me from now the West Coast, he decided to desert Buffalo and leave for greener pastures. And it's just good to have him back on the podcast because him and I were together doing podcasts before we went daily. And then I know that with the transition with his move and being on the Bills Wire staff for such a long time, I'm probably the longest tenured guy. Right now on the staff. So it's good to just have you back on the podcast, man. And how have you been?
Good, man. I can't believe it's been 36 podcasts. That's nuts since the day.
Well, when you're doing them daily, yeah, you know, they add up.
Yeah, it goes a little quicker. Yeah, but I'm doing well. It's great out here. It's a little different than Buffalo, but I love it. It's been fantastic since I got out here. I'm in Portland, Oregon now, so it's a little different watching the games, eating cereal and drinking coffee, but I appreciate it. You know, it's great to have the rest of the day to do stuff now.
A lot of Bills fans, have you met out there? Have you met anybody out there?
Or what? No, I haven't yet, but I know there is a Bills backers bar that is in southeast Portland. I haven't checked that out yet, but I've been meaning to. Probably go there in a couple weeks. But.
Sounds good, man. I think, I'm just personally happy for it. I know that you were looking to try something else, and you know, hoping everything goes well out there for you.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in a little ornery of a mood, and I don't know if it's because we're recording this podcast late, but I'm like really upset by the Vontae Davis thing.
Yeah, you know, it's really upsetting, especially when Bean brings in these guys that, you know, you hope McDermott would have the run by with. And you get a guy that is supposed to be the McDermott mold, the character, and he shows exactly a lack of character yesterday. Retires at halftime, essentially says, I'm done, and then just drives off before the game is over. That's one of your biggest free agent signings, I mean, in a pretty weak free agent class. And that's not good when that guy is just leaving for no reason and the teammates were upset. It was good to see teammates upset, obviously, but it's not what you expect when your number two corner just walks out and drives home mid-game and retires. I've never seen something like that.
But, like I don't know if you understand, Rich. Like, I'm really mad. Like, and here's why. Because, like, for everything the Buffalo Bills are all about, everyone just likes to make fun of us and fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, it's just another piece of crap, like, that is just thrown on the pile of, like, oh, like, you know, even the last 2 days being here, and maybe because, like, people when they're back, you know, living in Buffalo, or fans when they're, you know, when you're around other fans, mm-hmm. We can all, you know, commiserate and kind of say, oh, it's just, you know, the Bills being the Bills, or the Bills having a player that does. But, like, when you're living in another city, and, you know, for instance, for me living here in Atlanta, and, you know, you have a lot of transplants and people who like either the Panthers or, of course, the Falcons, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, legit NFL franchises who've had success. And can just look like they're competent organizationally.
Yeah.
They just make fun. Like, it's just, you have to, like, chuckle along and have to, you know, even mm-hmm. today I got, like, poked about, you know, haha, was that super funny that your guy has to retire? You're going to talk about that later in a podcast? And it's like, yeah, I have to talk about that because apparently, like, it's just another thing that makes Buffalo, you know, a laughing stock for everybody else. And, like, I'm, like, fed up with it, man. Like, when is it going to stop? Like, when are we going to have, like, a real passing game? When are we going to have, like, a real team? It just – I'm so upset. And I don't know why, because it's so late. But I'm just, like this, like, boiled me over to the edge because, again, it's just another thing I have to explain to myself for, like, half-laugh joke with people. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to fake it anymore. It's just – it sucks. It really sucks.
It reminds me a lot, too, when I was down in Florida. There's a lot of people from Massachusetts up there, so, you know, they bring a lot of Patriots fans. And every single week, you know, the Bills would be the butt end of the joke of all the Patriot fans in the offices. And it's like, man, just once I want it to be the opposite, or, you know, not be a fluke. as a fan, and it's just it sucks because it is just another thing on that list that Buffalo or Bills fans are recognized for. Now it's just, oh, it's like Anquan Boldin. Oh, he only played for the team for 2 weeks because he couldn't handle it. Or it's, you know, now Vontae Davis leaving mid-game, retiring because the team, you know, they
it's so bad.
The team is so bad, he retired mid-game. It's just another butt end of the joke. But I mean, I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel for Bills fans. I think that the people they have in right now are trying to build something, not right now, but for years ahead. And especially with the owners, I mean, the GM has been shaky. I mean, some of the moves we've called amazing, and other ones, you're just scratching your head, like the release of Jeremy Curley. Yeah. And I just think the people that are in place are competent. They are able to handle this. And what helps them is they haven't been suffering for as long as us. They don't have that in the back of their head, like, oh man, here we go again. Because that's never happened to them before. It's never been that bad luck attitude for them. They've been successful wherever they've gone. So I think that does bode well for the Bills, because I know they do become a part of the community as they get here, but I think that they can separate that from what they've done in the past and kind of move forward without, you know, thinking, here we go again.
Yeah, well, I will say this. I do think that the owners in place, you know, are definitely giving the resources to McBean to do what they need to do.
Oh, absolutely.
That's without a question. Probably more so than's ever happened.
Yeah.
You know, with any Buffalo franchise, for sure. Mm-hmm. That's unquestioned. I also agree with you that there probably is light at the end of the tunnel, and that could be Josh Allen. You know, looking pretty decent in his first start.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to also say, though, I think a lot of fans are, like, surprised that the Bills are so bad. And, you know, they were picked by a lot of national pundits not to be that good. Mm-hmm. And so it can't be all that surprising, especially now, right? They were exposed to how poorly this offensive line is playing, where there's no targets for the quarterback to throw, how young Tremaine Edmonds is in the middle of the defense. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of growing pains there. And fans need to brace for that, because it's just not going to change this season, you know, on a dime, where all these guys, they need to learn and grow up. And yes, they have that cap space, that 60 plus million cap space next year. And I think that was the overall process that McDermott and Bean were trying to preach. And they're not going to come out and say we're, you know, losing or tanking or whatever you want to call it. They're going to compete and expect to win every week. But they know what they have, you know, and I think that they are just preparing, like you said, for something bigger.
Yeah. You know, I think with the fans, I think it's more of a unexpected frustration. You know, you go from almost a bipolar, you know, emotional swing, where you go from one end, you're gleeful and losing your mind that your team made the playoffs, and at the other end, you're all depressed because the team, you know, has allowed so many points in the last two games. So I think it's just that crazy, almost like a shock to a lot of fans that are still, you know, with that almost like a hangover from making the playoffs last year. But I, like you said, I do think there is light at the end of the tunnel, but it's going to be frustrating. Every team that rebuilds, you look at the, like, with the Eagles when they got Carson Wentz, and with the Rams were almost a laughing stock 2 years ago when they had Jared Goff in there. And you see him, you know, everyone's poking fun at him because he doesn't know where the sun sets, and yet his team is 2-0 now and they're looking pretty damn good. It's going to be a frustrating probably year and a half for a lot of fans, because there's still, it's such a short-term vision right now, what you see of the team and where they are. A lot of these guys aren't going to be on the team next year, I'd say, or a lot of these guys might not even be starting right now or next year.
Right.
But I think there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it could end up benefiting the Bills in a better way, that some of these younger guys like Tremaine Edmonds and Tre'Davious White have such, well, Tremaine Edmonds will have such tremendous experience just from playing almost the entire year at the starting middle linebacker position. And same with Tre'Davious White, you know, he comes out there looking like a veteran because he's played, you know, an entire season under his belt, and I think that could end up boding better for them than, say, other teams with more depth.
Yeah, I think then, You're right. You're going to get the younger guys to play more. And maybe that's what they're doing at the wide receiver position because, Rich, they have like nobody to throw to.
Yeah, I mean,
It's really bizarre that they dressed four wideouts for the game. And I mean, maybe you do like Kroom and some of these other tight ends other than Clay to catch the ball and be pass catchers, but they're not proven guys. And I don't know. Like, I don't. Here's what I think. I don't think that they expected Allen to start this quickly. I think in their minds, they thought that Nathan Peterman would at least hold down the fort for the first half of the season or less. And
Yeah.
that did not happen. And
It
so,
didn't
right.
happen. No, it didn't happen at
So it
all.
just blew up. It just blew up in their face where they did not expect that. Allen is inserted into the lineup. And now he's just got to kind of fight through this awkward stage. I mean, the first six quarters between the Baltimore four quarters and the first half of the home opener against the Chargers were just unwatchable. I mean,
Yeah.
they were so bad on both sides of the ball,
They
three and
just couldn't move the
outs.
ball, too.
They couldn't move the ball. They were just giving up. I mean, the Chargers, I don't even think they had third downs. They were just marching down the
No, yeah.
field on chunk plays, scoring touchdowns.
Yep.
It was just the team was just so bad. At least they showed a little bit of life in the second half. Maybe they have Vontae Davis to thank for that. Maybe they just rallied
Maybe.
around a guy who just quit on them. But I don't know. Like, I'm hoping that they found a little something there in the second half. What's really unwatchable, which is really insane to me, because I thought this was going to be maybe a little bit of a strength, if anything, was on the offense, was the running game.
Yeah.
And LeSean McCoy can't, like, I don't care how shifty he is, he's not going to be able to
No.
escape
He's making it
any.
look bad. Other running
Right.
backs would be making it look horrible right now
Right.
with the
It's
run
just
plays they have had.
non-existent.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Or if it is existent, it's coming back on a 10-yard holding penalty. It is
Exactly.
frustrating. But yeah, I don't know. What I believe really gave them that spark in the second half last night was having Sean McDermott take over the play calling on defense. I think that it just gave them some stability. It gave them some, I don't know, maybe you could say it was a little bit of a spark, but I'm sure getting your tail kicked in is quite a bit of a spark. 28-3 at halftime. But I think McDermott taking over those play calling abilities was a good change and a good needed change that the Bills should have done maybe even last week. But it's good to see that they're actually, willing to take back the reins on that, rather than other guys in the past, say Rex Ryan's not giving up the play calling abilities because he's stubborn. You have a guy like Sean McDermott, okay, week two, it's not working, we're looking bad. Let me change things up a little bit and see if this could get us going. That's promising to think about and promising to see.
Yeah, like Lorenzo Alexander said too, like Leslie Frazier, he's not a me type of person. So he was like, okay, if Sean, if you want to take the play calling duties, go ahead. I have no problem with that. And there doesn't seem like that's going to affect them moving forward.
No, I don't think so either. And it speaks numbers about their coaching staff, and the just the camaraderie that they have on it, where they're able to do something like that and it's not a big issue and it's not a big deal at all. That's good.
Yeah, for
It's
sure.
very good to see.
Josh Allen, what do you think, man? Just we kind of touched on it, but just your overall thoughts. We talked about him a lot when you and I were podcasting, back in the spring and after he was drafted and working out in the spring with the threes, and now, he's the starting quarterback for the team in the regular season. Just what have you seen from him so far?
Well, it is actually a little bit crazy to think about that because I remember my prediction was that he wouldn't start until about week 11 or week 12 after the bye week. But it's hard to tell what you can see from him because a lot of times he is running around. You're seeing though that ability though, that escape ability in the pocket, and it sucks that it's happening, because the offensive line is just playing poorly right now, and it's been a little bit of a communication gap between Allen and the offensive line making adjustments. But it is nice to see that he has that skill, albeit when he's running around trying to avoid getting sacked a split second after the snap. But it's been nice. You see that confidence and also that leadership starting to take place. Like I remember yesterday, he's on the sidelines getting the defense all hyped up after they scored a touchdown to try to, stop the Chargers and get the ball back to the offense. It's nice to see a guy, he's still just a kid out there talking to guys like Jerry Hughes and others out there just pumping them up. And it's good to see him develop some of that leadership. The arm, he did make some errant throws and some maybe some rookie mistakes where he's going down for a sack and throws it, gets intercepted, and kind of forces a ball in later on in the game. But it's nice to see the quarterback take risks like that. I mean, obviously with the sack, you got to just throw the ball out of bounds or take the sack there. That's just a rookie mistake, but it is nice to see some of the throws that he is making. They're on target. Some of the things I didn't like really were the a lot of times on the just a slip screen. You know, you saw the one to DeMarco go for 20-something yards, and it was great, but it could have gone further if he, you know, puts a little better touch on it and doesn't float it too far. Even the same thing with Marcus Murphy earlier in the game. He threw a ball to him, and it just went slightly over his hands, and couldn't really do anything on it when he had a lot of field. It just comes down to that decision making, and also with in terms of the protection, he's got to be able to recognize the protection at the when he walks up to the ball, seeing what the defense is doing and preparing for that, and maybe making some adjustments. But that comes with time, and like I wrote about, came out this morning too, that he needs that veteran guide and veteran presence or mentor, and he doesn't have that right now. So it's kind of just he's learning with Brian Daboll, with David Cauley, with Nathan Peterman, and those aren't necessarily the best guys in the room to be teaching you how to be a quarterback in the NFL, because rarely none of them have a great experience helping NFL quarterbacks or being an NFL quarterback. So it speaks volumes, though, about how he's able to adapt to the game as, you know, really going in there without a mentor. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles this week against Minnesota. It's a very good defense, very good secondary. I'm sure they're going to show him some exotic looks to try to confuse him, try to get some turnovers. But it'll be interesting to see how he reacts.
How cool is Ryan Fitzpatrick right now? I mean, the guy is like 400-yard-plus games. He's just looking like he did back when he had his like run. You know, he had that run with the Bills where he was very good, and then the Bills gave him that huge contract. Like, he's hot right now. It's just good to see him, like, just see him all with the swag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who's Jameis?
Yeah, so it's
looking like Conor McGregor out there.
I think mostly I'm jealous, right? Because he's that veteran. He's that veteran the dream. Guy. Right, yeah. I mean, he's living in Florida. We both spent time down there.
Yeah,
living down there. I mean, it's a good place to. It's a good place to live. It's
retired,
a good place to
he's
play.
He's got a secure job. He doesn't have to really do much at work. You know, he's just out there having fun. I think that's why he's really just playing so well right now. He's having fun. He's at the end of his career. He knows he's not the starting quarterback of the future of any team, and I think it's just kind of freed him up to okay. Here's these nice weapons. You got DeSean Jackson with some speed, and you got Mike Evans who can catch real well. Okay, just go have fun. I think it's the reason the Bucks are 2-0 for sure.
No, I think I'm just jealous because he's just been so great. I mean, obviously those numbers are eye popping, but then too, like, you know, just to your point about a veteran presence, like somebody like him would have been great to sign in the offseason, and the Bills didn't want to pony up the extra cash for you know somebody else. They went with A.J. McCarron, who they just ended up trading away anyway. So
yeah, we might have had a QB controversy with Allen and Peterman versus Fitz. You never know.
Yeah,
you never know. Fitz could have been thrown week one. But
it's true.
Yeah. No, it is nice to see that veteran presence on the Bucks really taking them a little bit further than any. I mean, I didn't think the Bucks were going to do much this year. You know, but it's good.
Any
to see
given Fitz Sunday, my man. Any given Sunday.
Some Fitz magic. It's always good to watch. Must see TV.
It's just good to see. I don't know. I'm jealous, and I think that he would have been a good fit here in the offseason as just that veteran kind of rocks steady guy. I know he liked his time here.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been a good fit, but
we'll see how that fits. You know, tends to sway a little bit in the stat line. He'll go a couple good weeks in a row, and then I'll have a couple maybe four-pick weeks. So
I know. He's just hot right now.
He'll be on national TV next week, too, in Tampa against Pittsburgh, so we'll see.
Good little matchup for sure. Well, anyway, we'll have to do this again soon, man.
Absolutely.
It was fun catching up with you. I wish you well out there. And, you know, go people to check out, you know, Rich's articles and all of our guys that are writing at Bills Wire. Make sure you keep up to date with the team and check out all of our stuff there. Rich, as a veteran, would appreciate your reads.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. And, yeah, it go Bills this week. It'll be interesting. I don't know how they're gonna do against Minnesota, but the spread doesn't look very good.
No, yeah, I saw that spread and I was like, do I jump on the Bills just because it's such a huge spread?
You know, a lot of times they make that spread that big too, and most
to entice you.
Yeah, to entice you. Should I maybe bet on the Bills a little bit? No,
But still, I still don't like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's on the road in Minnesota, you got a hot team coming off an overtime loss. They could definitely beat the spread.
Yeah, but we'll for see. Sure. We'll see. Anyways, well, from the left coast, man, enjoy your time out there.
Thank you very much.
And I will chat with you hopefully again here sometime in the near future.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right. See ya.
See ya.